Well, we have a special treat today. Our very own Pastor Josh has an installment within this seed series. And, of course, he and I have been talking about seed time and harvest over the phone, and it's amazing. But he's going to share the word this morning. So are you excited? We had worked this out, I think it's been a month or so ago, and I actually moved him up. I said, can you be ready Sunday? He's like, I'm ready. I thought, okay, go for it.
Amen. Well, I am very excited about this series. I know for me, it's always the simplest stuff that has the biggest impact, you know? And I'm just seeing how vital this revelation is, that the Lord is not only bringing back up, but breathing new life in for us, this whole thing about seed time and harvest. So I do have a word about it. The word that I have is an encouragement, an admonishment. I imagine it'll be brief, but I feel like what the Lord has put in my heart about this is something that must go along with this revelation. Amen. I do thank you, Pastor Wade, for letting me minister. It means a lot to me. This, I handle it with fear and trembling. I mean it. This means a lot. So why don't we pray and we'll go. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we come here of our own free will to hear your voice. We're not here for anything else but to hear you. So Father, I ask you to speak through me, to me. And God, right now we all ask, speak to me. Breathe on your word. We just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I can feel it. Y'all are with me. Are you going to go with me? Okay. You determine how good this is, not me. Pressure's off me. It's all about y'all. Amen. All right. So we've learned this concept about seed time and harvest, right? We've learned the concept. We've learned how it works. And what I feel like the Lord has put in my heart is trust the process. Let it work. Amen? Trust the process. Okay? Because the temptation is to put a seed in the ground and the next day come outside and wonder what happened or what didn't happen, right? Or to go digging for that seed and check on it. No. Don't do that. Okay? So we're going to talk about a few different things. One is we're going to talk about why it takes the time it does. Okay? We're also going to talk about what to do in the meantime. And we're going to talk about why it's okay to wait. We're not good waiters. We can try to faith past the due time. It doesn't work. Amen? All right. So, my main text is Mark 4 and verse 26. Let's go there. And we're just going to, every scripture that I have up here, I'm going to do my best not to rifle through them, but we do have a lot. But let's just savor each of these scriptures. I really believe the Lord's going to speak something to you today. So, Mark 4, 26. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. You don't know how. Okay. You don't know how. You don't have to know everything about what's going on underneath the ground. Trust the process. Amen. So here's a few just little bullets. How many of you know big trees need big roots? So if you're believing big, you need to wait a minute. Amen? If you're going to believe real big, how many of you know, yes, some things are miraculous, but a lot of the way we interface with the world and the way God delivers things to us is through people. People take time. People take response. Amen? So if we're believing big for big trees, let it get some big roots. Is that too deep? Okay. Yeah, the roots are. That's right. And more roots means more fruit. Now, I want to go back to that Mark 4, and I believe it's the last 29. Okay, now listen to this. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Listen, when it's ready, Jesus isn't going to waste any time getting it to you. If it ain't there, it's not ready. Trust the process. Amen? Kind of get the direction we're going? All right. So why the wait? And I think this is really important. A long time ago, one of my first jobs was I worked at Friendly's, what Crooked Spoon is now. All right, I worked at that Friendly's. And I learned a lot about cooking there. I was a cook, right? And we used to cook steaks there. They weren't any good because it was Friendly's. But but we did it. And I would go and I'd throw the steak down. And the manager, you know, she's watching me and she's very exact. And I'd go and I'd poke it and I'd rotate it and I'd flip it. And she goes, leave it alone. Let it cook, right? Stop playing with it, okay? So a lot of times we have that thing that must mess with what we've prayed for. Stop it. Stop it, okay? I'm telling you. This is how I think, okay? Yeah. So let's talk about a few reasons why the wait, okay? Now, the big one, obviously, is sometimes it just takes time, okay? But what if something needs to be added to you? What if something needs to be subtracted from you? What if, like I said, God's working through people and he's trying to make it happen? Remember in Daniel, where he prayed the one time and it came, and then the next time he said, hey, the enemy threw a stick in your spokes and messed you up, right? It took longer. What if it's the enemy? That's a thing, amen? What if it's just a no from the Lord? Is that possible? Okay, now the reason I'm bringing that up, and I want to put this question up for me, Jordan. Can you definitively prove which of those is the reason for your wait? The answer is no. And you know what? It's not important. It's not important. What is important is that you receive what needed to happen in that step. I'm going to get ahead of myself. I'll wait. So, because we can't definitively... Now, in hindsight, it's sort of like biblical prophecy. It's like we can try to assume everything the way it's going to go, and then God shows up and it makes perfect sense, but it was not at all how anybody thought it would go. Is that true? Well, it's the same with our answer. Right? How many of you, ask yourself this question, how many of you have asked the Lord for something and you received it and then you went, that is not at all how it would go? How many of you were surprised at how it came? Okay? See, we place conditions on how God has to respond and when. That's not our job. Right? Again, I'm going to get ahead of myself. So, let's go to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 13. Trust the process. Calm thyself. Listen, Jesus didn't start jogging when he heard Lazarus was going to die. You know, you guys, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but I'm a big military fan. I love our military. And I watch a lot of interviews with the guy who killed Osama bin Laden. He's like my hero. I know it's weird to talk about in church, but the guy orchestrated the death of 3,000 Americans. He needed to go. I don't feel bad saying that. Amen. So anyway, this guy, Robert O'Neill, the guy who took the shot, he gives these talks. And he talks, it's very contrary because we think in combat, these guys get intense and yell and everything. He goes, no, the elite, they slow down when things get crazy. And he tells this story about how they were ambushed in the middle of the night. The enemy had, stolen off of some dead troops some night vision goggles, and now are playing a different ball game. They can see in the dark too, because that's how they fight, okay? And he says, you know, you would think we would panic and scream and run and move. He said, no, everybody took a knee and sat down and just let it happen for a minute, right? He says, you slow down, the crazier it gets. And he says, the reason I'm bringing that up is these two statements. One of their mottos is never run to your death. If it's going bad, don't go any quicker. Amen? And the other thing is nothing positive ever happened by panic. Amen? It's true. And I know that from the fire service. I remember my first fire, right? I come to the door. There's smoke billowing out from under the door. The doorknob singed the back of my hand because it was hot. I said, okay, it's go time. It's the Super Bowl. And I couldn't get my mask on. My hands were shaking so bad. And my lieutenant grabs my shoulder and goes, calm down. If you're really worried you're going to die, go slower. You know. So I hope that translates. All right, Psalm 27. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, he didn't say, I would have lost heart, but then I got what I wanted. Read it again. I would have lost heart unless I had believed. Unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Next one. Wait on the Lord. Now, I looked it up. You know what the word wait means? Wait. Actually means to sit. It actually means inactivity. Now, that doesn't mean we like give up or anything, but you know what I mean? It's you're not going to produce what you're asking God to produce. So wait. Amen? And he shall strengthen your heart. We're not even talking about the answer. Okay? And that gets me into my next point. What's important is not the next step. What's important is what you needed in the step you're in. Okay? And you can bring up this next statement, Jordan. Obsession over the future leads to neglect of the present. How many of us, we're all guilty of this. Okay? How many, yeah, Tony's got his hand up. How many of us are so worried about the future, we walk by everything that matters right here? We can't change tomorrow, but I can live right here. Amen? Let's go to Hebrews 4. I really sense just the anointing. I feel y'all are with me, but is this bringing you help? Because listen, what I'm aware of is that when I spot two or three people going through kind of the same thing, I recognize it's probably the body. And so I'm aware that we're all believing for things that we have not seen yet. Amen? And there is a campaign to discourage and to make you give up. But we don't give up. We're going to trust this process. Amen? Hebrews 4, look at verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear. Oh no, in the new covenant, it tells us to fear something. This is the only thing we're supposed to be afraid of. Listen to this. That any of you should seem to come short of it. Next one. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us. Now, wait a second. He's talking about rest. Why is he talking about the gospel? Okay. He says for. That means it's related to the previous verse. He's talking about rest, and then he brings up gospel. He says, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word they heard, listen, did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. The gospel is about the goodness of God. The lack of rest in your life means the unbelief of the goodness of God in your life. If we're not entering rest, we don't believe that he is good. We don't believe the gospel. We may have heard the gospel. We're not mixing it with our believing. Therefore, we're not resting. See, when we hear the gospel, the good news that Jesus is who he says he is, that we're paid for, that he had a will, and that he died in activated the will, was resurrected, and now lives to enforce that will and manifest his goodness to us. If we don't believe that, we're not going to rest. Amen? Amen. Let's keep going, shall we? Okay. Now listen, see, I look at the Word of God a lot of times, and I'm looking for identifiers. I see certain things, and I go, okay, what does that identify in me? And this is one. If I find that I'm not at rest in an area, I'm going, do I believe that God is good and is working on my behalf? Because if I believe that, shouldn't I have rest? Right? Now, this isn't in my notes, but how do I fix that? It's a good question, hmm? I fix that by the presence of God. The presence of God corrects all bad doctrine and fear. All of it. If we don't have a steady diet of the manifest presence of God, it will be hard to connect with this word. It's not just mental assent. We have to have his presence manifest and confirm in the place that nothing can touch but God, our heart. Amen. Amen. All right. So before we move on to the next point, these are a few questions to ask yourself if you're in that meantime, right? What is God doing in you? What if it's less about your answer and more about you? Amen? Because, you know, we see, like with money, you know, the Lord is more concerned with your heart condition about money than he is getting you the money, right? It's like he'll take care of us, but the real increase comes when our heart's properly aligned. You know what I mean? Those priorities are correct, right? So what is God trying to do in you? Maybe you've asked for something that is his will, but it's something that you would ruin in your current condition. I recognize that in myself with my job that I'm in. If I did not understand submission, I would not survive in my job that I'm in now a month. It's a hard, construction industry is not exactly a friendly industry. It's true. If I walked around upset and offended about everything, it's going to be hard to promote that person. Amen? It's going to be hard to be a blessing when everything's about me and what I think I deserve, right? So, there was a place where I was being prepared, right? I asked God for this job, but he didn't give it because I wasn't ready. He was doing something in me. Amen? What do I need to learn to move to the next step? What tests do I need to pass to go there? You guys have heard it said here in this church that if a test is placed before you, and you fail it, well, you're not sent to detention. You're just going to take it again, right? And you know what? A lot of people, they'll stay at the same test for 40 years. God's not upset, but boy, if we just learn the lesson. And this is, let's go to James chapter 1. Let's talk about that for a minute. This is something that's really real to me because at this point it's a lot easier than it was, but it's just so real to me because I feel like the Lord opened my eyes about this when it came to Miriam and I having kids. We tried for 2.5 years to have kids and nothing happened, right? And we didn't go to any doctors, not that I'm against doctors. Please don't talk to me about that. But there was just something in me where the Lord spoke, and he wasn't saying wait, because like people would tell me it's all in God's timing. And I'm like, well, is it though? I mean, I understand there are some things that's the case, but this didn't feel like that. It's like he gave me this awareness, there's something I'm doing in you, right? And there was a few moments. There was one moment where me and Pastor Wade were standing right back there in that opening, and we were just talking about this, and he just felt prompted to pray for me, and he said, I just released the heart of a father. And I fell on the ground and just wept. See, I didn't want kids the same way Miriam did. She already had the heart of a mother. I didn't have the heart of a father. Right? But it was implanted. And there was about 5 or 6 things that happened in that process. Now, I'm not saying God withheld the children. That's not what I'm saying. I believe there was something medical that occurred. In the McRae's, you guys know the McRae's? If you don't, look them up. They're great. We love them. They came and they didn't know anything about this, right? They just said, hey, we want to pray for Miriam. And Pastor Linda, she put her hands on Miriam's stomach, and I said, oh boy, I know what's fixing to happen. Yeah. And maybe 9 months and 10 days later, Rebecca was born. So, but what I'm saying is, the Lord made me aware that it's more about us. He needs to do things in us, right? It's not just about gimme, 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 my thing. What am I, my thing I want, right? He knows what we need before we ask, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Our job is to steward what's in us. Listen to this statement. Faith doesn't replace learning a lesson. I'm going to say it again. Faith doesn't replace learning a lesson. We can have all the faith in the world, but if we can't learn the lessons that we're supposed to, you'll be a great believer right where you are. Right. What we believe matters, but so does the obedience. So does the willingness to look ourselves honestly and say, I recognize my shortcoming. I recognize what I don't know. I recognize what I can't do. God, help me. Amen? All right. And then my final point, and we're going to go to several scriptures on this one. Trust the character of God. It's fixing to get really good. Really good. Trust the character of God. Part of the process, well, you know what? Let's just read 1 Corinthians 3. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. Y'all still with me? Okay. 1 Corinthians 3, let's look at verse 1. And I'm kind of starting a little early here just for context. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. Well, you know, that kind of fits with what we're talking about. Amen. And now, even now, you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal, behaving like mere men? Next one. Okay, this is the point. For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Next one. Who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. Okay, let me just stop here. This is worth saying. Sometimes people treat, how do I say this? Can I meddle? It's not important. People treat sort of these super pastors, let's call them that, like baseball cards. Like if you say something, their super pastor trumps you. And so it's like, right? And then there's these like little allegiances to these particular men. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Some of us plant, others water. It's about Jesus. Amen. Amen. I planted, Apollos watered. And that's what Paul's saying. He's like, guys, stop arguing about this. He's like, we all get along. Y'all are freaking out over nothing. Okay, listen to this. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. That seed that we've been talking about, who increases it? Who's doing it under the surface? Not us. Amen? This is where we trust in the character of God. If I don't believe in His goodness, if I'm not aware, Romans 8:28, that He's working things together on my behalf for my good, I don't believe He's given the increase. He's doing it. He's doing it. Amen? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. He is good, and He's good to us. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful and will do it. Everything that we just read, preservation, being presented blameless, spirit, soul, and body. Who does it? He does it. Trust the character of God in this process. Let's go to the next scripture. You guys don't have to turn to these. I'm just going to go through them. Philippians 1. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Again, who's completing it? He's doing it. When that seed's placed in there, He's doing it. We water, like we learned from Pastor Wade, we place ourselves in a condition where we're being watered. We're giving it light, right? That's our part. But the increase, He does that. Amen. Let's go to the next scripture. Therefore, since we also are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. It's good advice. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, it's easy to stop there and say, let's run. My effort, right? No. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He does it. He does it. Amen? Next one. This is just... If you just want to get really messed up in the Holy Spirit, just sit and contemplate this verse for 30 minutes. This will make you so aware of the goodness of God. And listen, I don't know if anybody else is like this. Sometimes you read a verse and you think, you know, that's almost too good to be true. And so you go and you search the Greek and you look at every single word and then you put it in context and you read 6 different translations and it still says the same thing. This is one of those verses. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. That gives me comfort. Because who here has perfect faith all the time? Who here gets stuff comes up and it jolts you, it shocks you, it hurts you? He's faithful. Jordan, let's skip to Galatians 6 and verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season, say due season. Due season. It didn't say, if you act like a kid on the cereal aisle and fall down and writhe around and flop everywhere, make a bunch of noise. It didn't say if you wet your prayer cloths and throw them at the fan, whatever, all that other stuff. It didn't say any of that. In due season, there is a time. Now, yes, some of it has to do with us. Absolutely. That is the truth. And that's where I can focus. That's something I can focus on and affect. Right? Like we talked about, what's He doing in me? What do I need to pour into this? But listen, Trust the process. We will reap. God has, it brings him no pleasure to make you wait any longer than he absolutely has to. His desire is to bring the absolute best to your life. He doesn't have some weird, mysterious way where he's withholding something till you maybe figure it out. No. See, this is just how I think. There's something I'm believing for. I know it's his will, right? I ask him for it. And you know what I start doing? Just believe in the goodness of God. And along the way, if there's something that pops up in me that I need to deal with, I deal with it. I it's so common. You see people who clearly have a call on their life. Like everybody has a call, but like you can tell the call, right? And they're on their way up, or they're, you know, but then they hit this roadblock because there's some character problems or there's some injuries, right? But they're so obsessed with the call. They're so obsessed with that vision. They refuse to look at themselves. And all they've done is placed the gate up for the next step in the process, right? What's more important, I believe this is a word. Did you know that your call is not nearly as important as your love walk? We're not rewarded for your call. We're rewarded for our love. How we treat each other is infinitely more important than being in this spotlight or having this big grandiose vision. Jesus looks at when we speak and love the one. The ones who can't do anything for you. Who cannot make you look any better. Who cannot maybe later decide they want to write you a fat check. No. He sees the motivation of the heart when we're motivated to pour into somebody who can do nothing for us. That's where the reward is. And you know what? That's what you're called to. Your call is not just your assignment. That's like 1/32nd of it. You're called to be like Jesus. You're called to love one another. You're called to fellowship. You're called to light. You're called to love. Those are all in your calling. The little thing you do is the little thing you do. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Well, listen, that's about it. I just wanted to encourage you all, listen, trust the process. The seed's in there. Pour into it. Water it. Be faithful. Keep showing up. Be consistent. But trust the process. In the interim, relax. We serve a good God. And you know what? If we make mistakes along the way, he's faithful. We are forgiven. He is faithful. Trust that this thing is working. For in due season, you will reap. Amen.
Amen.
That's all I have.